Okay. Considering some of our recent exhortations, this theme may seem coincidental, that wasn't intentional, but I came across this and liked it. But after all, with God, are there really any coincidences? My thoughts mainly come from and are derived from some notes put out by Brother Charles Kelly under the same title. They were put out as Christadelphian Bible School Bible study lessons in 1983. And as I've started compiling this, there's a lot there. So my title, The Duties and Obligations of the Present Day Believer, this is going to be a series. So let's start with our reading, Christ's prayer in John 17, verses 6 through 23, where Christ prays, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God's requirements do not change, because God does not change. Let's read James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God commanded Israel to be holy in Leviticus 19, verse 2. And Peter repeated this to believers in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now the word holy means separate, set apart. By implication, often ceremonially and morally pure or clean. And people often think of it as a formal or an official thing, which sometimes, frequently, is the case. But we must be careful with that perception, or it can become more of a vain outward show, as was the Jews' problem. And thus Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, for example, 1 through 6, in his Sermon on the Mount, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In Titus chapter 2, let's turn there now. Continue with Titus chapter 2. Read 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So our faith should be evident even when we are not engaged in worship or directly godly matters. Now, holiness is only possible for man through faith. Baptism validated by knowledge and faith, and a subsequent faithful walk. And of course, we could turn to the faith chapter. Hebrews 11:6. You know, a common memory verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again in Hebrews, let's turn back to chapter 9. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So now let's discuss some aspects of a faithful walk. We must always do everything out of agape, or love, the supportive, exhortive, helpful, completely self-sacrificing love, translated charity in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go ahead and read the first 8 verses there in 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, or this love, the agape or agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, or this deep love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. charity never faileth, or this love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And this knowledge here is the Greek gnosis, the basic knowledge, book knowledge, like the Jews. And as the verse says, without agape, it shall vanish. Just like the veil was put over the Jews' eyes. But we must apply it through the patient, lowly, righteous humility detailed in these verses in every aspect of our life to demonstrate true godliness, to be lights to this dark world. Everything we say or do or think should be consciously intended to please God, our Heavenly Father. There's a lot of verses that we can look up for that, but 1 Corinthians 10:31, for example, he's dealing with one specific aspect. But he says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. For those of us that are or were parents, you know, think about watching your children. Well, good habits taught them result in actions that make you happy, that make you pleased with them. You maybe even proud of them. Even if you aren't impacted in the least by the action. Now, good habits don't occur naturally. They are taught or they are developed. And so we must learn from the Word of God. It is through the Bible alone and in total that we can develop a deep understanding of God. First Corinthians 2:16. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Christ was the Word made flesh, as John wrote in John 1:14, speaking only God's Word so we can learn of God's ways and God's mind through him. As we deepen our understanding of God, this deepens our faith. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read verses 2 through 8. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we develop these attributes that he lists, we are brought full circle through brotherly kindness back up to this charity, which again is agape. That, as he says earlier, grace and peace may be multiplied unto you. And part of the diligence includes holding fast the principles of God. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. John, in his first epistle, clarified on that idea in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where he writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." And again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul admonishes Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us." And then to Titus, in Titus chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, for passing on responsibilities. "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober," which that word means sound-minded, moderate, is also translated discreet in another place, "just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." In Hebrews 10, 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18, Peter's final words of advice. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Again in Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's read verses 12 through 16. Where he gives some good advice that, again, I think we all could take. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we must always be setting a good example, whether anyone is around or not. Because we practice this for God, our Heavenly Father, and Christ, our elder brother, whose approval we seek. Now, as we consider the example of our elder brother, who we follow, we will turn our attention to the memorial service, the Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. So let us now stand and sing hymn number 154. 'Twas on that dark and mournful night when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock his name, his life devour.